Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And now, another episode of Love is Blind Theater. Arena, I can't wait to meet you. I'm so excited. Oh, I hope she's really pretty. I think there's going to be crazy chemistry, though. You know, it's not going to matter what we look like at all. I know we're just going to like fall in love and our souls are going to be like totally great. So, doors open. Hey!
Hi.
You're pretty.
Hey, this is so weird. So here, let's just sit. No, don't walk back to my,
Okay.
In the middle.
Can I put my hand on your leg?
No, I want to sit right here in the middle where no one usually sits because this is a weird place to sit, but I just, let's sit.
What are you feeling? What are you feeling right now?
I don't do feeling. I'm like, oh my God. Like, can you not blink? Are you not blinking?
You're just, it's a disorder I had from childhood.
You're just,
you know, my mother's dead.
What? Yeah, I know. I guess
she was like a stripper. Have you met Ralphie?
Yeah.
We're going to take him on the honeymoon.
I need you to blink. I just need you to blink, please. Can you please blink?
What do I look like to you? You're so gorgeous.
You look like, oh my God. You look like a cartoon character, like something not attractive at all. Like just a really kind of weird, like buffoony. I never say that word.
Like Aladdin? Like a hot cartoon character?
No, not like Aladdin. You know, like that parrot that rides around with that gay guy? Like that. Like, you know, just kind of like just staring, just like full on staring, or maybe like that, that Wall-E robot, you know, that's just kind of those big eyes, and it's just like you don't talk.
I'm gonna kiss you now because I want you to stop talking.
No, I don't know. We should wait just because we want to build this, right? Right?
Yeah, I guess.
Let's hug. We'll hug and I'll enjoy it.
Ow, is that your nails pressing into me?
No, not at all.
I think we're in for a weird, wild adventure.
You really got to start blinking.
Love is blind.
We've never had a meeting like this before.
You know, never. I actually thought this might be the first person that says no at the meeting and walks away, which is what you said you would do if you were.
I would do it. I would go, I left something on the stove.
You just walk away.
Have a nice life.
No,
you're not my type. Sorry. It's all right. I know we like connected to the pods, but like, I know we spent like 58 hours together, but like, I'll never get past that wonky eye. I can imagine saying that.
Especially when I notice him, he always looks down and is just going.
He's interesting for me because he is kind of off kilter attractive to me, but something's, his sense of humor is off, and his, the way he relates to other people is a little off. And especially the way he relates to women is off. I'll never get past the telling people he was a stripper or telling her he lived under an underpass.
I don't think he knows how to be funny. I agree. If something's off, if he had a better haircut too, he would look more attractive. Mm-hmm. But I think physically he actually looks, fine. It's actually his energy. So,
but telling him he looks like a cartoon character.
This is honestly, I feel a little sorry for him a little bit. Not too much because he was kind of lying about who he was and playing games.
Yeah.
But it feels so good to see that villain get with someone that they're not attracted to.
Yeah. It's very satisfying. If you need to look up in the dictionary what the phrase "she's got the ick" is,
it's
is it.
This is it.
If you ever wondered what that feels like or what it looks like to see it, this is like one of the best examples I've ever seen.
Oh,
it was added, and what's added to it is she thinks, because someone else wanted this guy, she thinks this is prime dick hot guy real estate all the way before this.
She thought before, yeah.
So, and she's really saying, oh, I know we're going to get around, going to go along so well. I just know it, and I've won. So she's taken from Everest to the depths of Hades.
Oh. Ooh.
I loved it.
It was one of the best things we've seen. It was great. It was great.
I think he's got a little bit of the ick too. There's something in his eyes that said, I did not. And he kind of says, you look like Megan Fox. Definitely the Wish version.
when she does say stop blinking, he's like, stop making fun of that. Like they're already coming together in a combative way than their first meeting.
I don't think I blinked through this entire scene because I couldn't take my eyes off of it. I had to actually watch it and I put down my pen because I needed to see this.
It was really good.
This is one of the most uncomfortable first meetings I've ever seen of anyone on television.
Yeah, agreed. So that was the first meeting. So now
Mexico!
So what we're going to do going forward, the way we kind of do this, just so y'all know, we're going to do them by couples. We do couples first, then we'll break from the pool event. Party, and then they usually go back to couples. I don't think they do in this episode, but then we'll go back. We'll kind of go back and forth. It just makes more sense to do it in that way.
This episode, by the way, is episode 4, with fire.
Fire.
I don't know who's playing with fire. Well, probably Kwame.
Yeah.
And Micah, who spends her entire life playing with fire.
Woo! Speaking of, I think that's the first couple I have, Micah and Paul.
Micah and Paul.
So once we spend time together, I can pair it actually to you.
I think pair who what she looks like with her voice.
I think that's
maybe
what she meant. Yeah.
Well, here's the issue here. She keeps saying, I was like, that's not him. That's not a scientist. They're basically both working on getting used to the other's appearance. But she even says, he's like, but I'm grateful to be here with you. You can tell it's not something she can get past because this is not how she thought he looked.
I don't think she's into him.
I agree. And for her to change about someone doesn't happen very often.
No, because she's shallow. So,
exactly.
She's very, very shallow. And so even when they're kind of sitting there talking, she, instead of talking about them, she starts talking about the other women in the house and all the bullshit they went through. And I went,
oh,
what? honey, it's done. Let that fucking go.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think she might be one of those people, unless episode 5 is just some type of like, until it just burns it all down, she might fizzle out and she might just be a kind of like, she almost, you kind of see her not knowing what to do until she starts talking to Kwame, which we're going to talk about.
We'll talk about that. It is what is kind of gratifying. This is what happens with people that are bullies or mean girls or whatever.
Right.
They come off with this big bite, this big fucking show. But then when they actually get into one-on-one connections with people, they really don't. They sometimes do fizzle out because they have no power anymore.
Right? She had so much power in the pods.
And both of them don't have any power anymore. And it is beautiful to watch.
So, y'all, later on, because we're talking about Micah and Paul, the next thing I have is they're unpacking. And they're about, like, how are they going to spend the night? And they're like, oh, you're going to probably kick me all night long. And y'all, he takes off his shirt and pants, and there's this moment where he like sleeping in his underwear, and she kind of goes, "Oh,
yeah," like he was surprised. I'm like,
because I don't think she's thought this all through.
No,
she
hasn't thought this far in her game.
And she says in her talking, and I find Paul's dorkiness endearing. She says, in the past, this is not something I'd have gone after.
But I find him really attractive.
Yeah. You know what? I can see her finding him cute, but not, I don't sense chemistry at all. She's treating him like her little brother. It's little brother energy.
I really got to say, you've talked to this before. The whole thing is like, does this experiment work? Well, yeah, the experiment works when someone finds out they're paired with someone fucking beautiful, like all the men mostly are on this show.
Yeah.
Like, y'all, all the women are happy this season. Like, these are good looking guys. Yeah, you can have, but if you don't have physical attraction to someone, I don't know if that grows. Like, that is what it is.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's been my problem with the concept of the show in general. And
if we could get past that in life, you and I would actually have a house in Malibu or in Palisades because we would have made better choices with the men we date.
That's fair. And I would have been with David Geffen.
Yes, you would have been with David Geffen. And I would have been with that. Yes.
Yeah. Oof. Y'all, I'm still reeling from the announcement of his marriage.
There was a man, star. Very short. He did get, it's not a porn star. A very short man and I once went on a date. This is years ago. He now is a neurosurgeon because he was in school at the time. This is like 15 years ago. But I just couldn't get past that he was like 5 foot.
How shallow of you.
And he had a very small penis.
Oh, done deal. DOA.
But I still think about like, God damn.
You got to go bigger than that. You got to go billionaire with a B. Yeah. I don't got time for no M's. Go for B.
He ended up moving to the East Coast to work anyway. I wouldn't have done that. Too cold.
Okay, number one, you're following these people way too much.
We need to move on.
Well, we're Facebook friends. You need, especially if you've dated, you don't even know. I know what some of the people I've dated, but I don't give a crap about them, and I don't follow them for years.
Well, it just pops up every once in a while.
I would probably just forget that.
Okay.
Anyway, so they do kiss in bed. But yes. It's like a little sweet kind of thing.
Yeah. Paul's like, I wanted to have sex, but I'm glad we didn't. No, it's not. You wanted to have sex.
I do think he's into her, but I think Paul is someone who thinks he's a lot deeper than he is.
He's not. That is so accurate.
Yeah. He's a scientist. He's a thinker.
Because I think he's going to be into her now, but I don't think he's going to be into her later.
Oh, no, no, no.
He does this whole monologue. I usually go for the type of granola type girl. The crunchy. Like, it describes someone that is the complete opposite of Micah.
And basically... Yeah, he's talking about like witchy brewing kombucha. So because that girl is usually the deep kind who he listens to and admires. He's someone who needs to admire who he's with.
I think he does that nerdy part of him. He needs to have like a curiosity or like learning something from someone.
Right.
He's not good. He can learn about maybe the intricacies of eyelash extensions, but that's about it with Micah.
Barely, because she doesn't. How she made out is some people, both men and women, are very good at telling you what you want to hear. She is an extremely adept dater.
Yeah. We see it later with Kwame. She tells Kwame exactly what he wants to hear.
And it's a thing of genius, really. But it's also very dangerous. But that's kind of all she has. The next thing is, it's the next day, I believe. That's the group date. So do we want to go after the group date?
Let's talk a little bit about the couples before, and then we'll normally we do that. So next is Chelsea and Kwame, and they are I forgot to tell you, by the way, we're recording this on St. Patrick's Day, and I'm wearing a shirt someone sent me.
What is it? That's a really disturbing Peter Pan that is buff, and it says "Kiss a Ginger,"
and he's just wearing a tank top with it pulled over his hard dick.
Wow,
it's disgusting.
Sexualization of Peter Pan is inherently wrong, and I'm saying this because Peter Pan is a kind of childlike figure that shouldn't be sexualized.
I want you to think about the diatribe you once went off on our show about Captain Hook wanting to fuck Peter Pan.
Yeah, because he's a pedophile.
All right, we're going to move on.
That's why that's and but it's not right. The thing about Peter Pan, he can't grow up. So it's actually weird to sexualize him.
It's a disgusting.
I'm fine with sexualizing almost everyone else. It's the concept of Peter Pan. It's eternal childhood.
I only wore it to bother you, if I'll be honest.
That makes sense.
Are you wearing green today?
No. I might later. And if you pinch me, I'll slap you in the face.
Okay, let's move on. So Chelsea and Kwame, they're very romantic.
They got a lot of chemistry. They're kissing and Chelsea basically says, "You're exactly what I thought. I love you." They're dropping L-bombs everywhere. I'm still worried.
Well, it's sad because of what we see later. But when you're watching this, you're going, wow, they are so into this. And Kwame keeps saying, but it is weird when Kwame says, this works out exactly how I needed it to. Oh, hold on. It bothers me that Kwame keeps saying it worked out exactly how it needed to.
Not how...
Think about Brent Tiffany.
It to. Yeah.
It feels different.
It's a weird way to say it.
It's a weird way to say it.
But
they're very romantic. They're really kissing.
It looks
they're
like
making
they're
out.
Fucking in the pool.
Okay. We need to talk about Love is Blind. It's like Love is Blind After Dark this season.
Especially with these two. And I think both of them are very sexual. Sensual.
Sensuous, as my mother says.
Sensual. Sensuous. Yeah. Sensuous. Mm-hmm. Sensual. Sensuous. Something still feels off. And I don't like that. I don't know.
No, I don't like it either.
She's got her baby blanket, y'all.
She does have her baby blanket. I will say, y'all, his body is fucking incredible.
It is. Both him and Brett have ridiculous bodies.
Ooh, they are hot. I think this is the hottest group of guys on Love is Blind we've had in a long time.
You've said that, and I disagree. I think they're more, maybe I'm thinking of a different kind of rubric of reality show. But I disagree as far as reality show men. It's not the typical, maybe
for me, they're more attractive. I think Paul is weird, but I think Paul's very attractive.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking of reality show casting, and I don't think this group computes. I think it's a lot more normal looking people.
But
they're attractive.
People, yeah. It's but because think about, always go for the Ian Somerhalder. No, I like normal people.
It's not even I'm just talking about from a reality show base. Think about season two, even season three, men. And
I'm not attracted as many. There's more attractive guys.
But I'm saying, I'm not going this on how what I like. I'm saying from previous seasons and from a reality show lens. That's what I'm talking about. You're going from what you think is attractive.
Yeah, that's all I care about. I don't care about a reality show lens.
Well, I'm talking about it because it's different than previous seasons.
It is different. It's normal people. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So there, yes, there was the baby blanket, her baba. They talk how she talks about how like they want to cuddle, and then we see them later on, kind of the morning after. And y'all, what did they do, Poodle?
Booked. But they, it was making love, as they said.
That's what Chelsea said.
This is a little too. It feels rushed. It feels like she's in a fantasy world, and he's kind of enabling it.
Did you see that they didn't ask him how he thought the night went?
I know. I'm
they
really
just
worried.
Asked her because she was all. She's like, I've never had this level of attraction with someone. It was great.
I'm worried.
She like says to him, "Did we expect it to be this good?" And they're at a bar having a drink, and he's like, "No." And then we start to see the cracks where Kwame says, "I'm nervous about us heading back home, like how we fit." And that, y'all, it's kind of the same thing that happens with Jacqueline. It's like if you fit and you feel comfortable with someone, why are you freaking out already about what happens?
Well,
when you get home.
I'll tell you why. They did this show to kind of, because it hasn't felt like real life for a while.
Yeah.
And these are the people who are kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
And what's his life right now? It kind of hits these people that everything else has been magical thinking up to now. And they don't trust. So Kwame doesn't trust what's happening. That's it. And what he's thinking is they're going to get back and it's not going to be real. So he, deep down, he doesn't really believe the experiment worked. And I can't say I would. I'd probably be doing the exact same thing of we're going to get back and who knows what's going to happen.
And I think for Kwame, that goes back to, we've talked about this, of him feeling insecure in moments. And I think it goes back to a lot of that. But
he even asks her, do you mind if I have a conversation with Micah? And she's all right with it.
I went, okay. I was like, all right. I can see that you are on a reality show. And I thought, okay, you want to have a conversation about it? And that's it. Great. He's like, but you know, I'm happy and blessed. He's like, then he says again, we got, you know, what's important is we got all the way through, and that's important. And it's like,
right.
It almost is like you're saying, because you chose one another, that's why you should be together, not that you wanted to choose one another.
Yeah.
And then their segment kind of ends with Chelsea saying, this is so good. I just hope it feels too good to be true.
Maybe they're ramping us up. I don't know. It my spidey sense for these things isn't telling me good things right now.
No.
We'll see. Jackie and Marshall.
I do love Marshall. He's really growing on me.
I love him. I love both of them. She's burping around him. And Jackie says, physically, I probably would never have swiped right because I go for these tatted up, tall, athletic hoopers.
Same, Jackie. Same. And that's why we're single, girl.
And he's like, Marshall's the exact opposite. And Marshall says, do you want to wait till after the altar for intimacy? And without missing a beat, Jacqueline says, why would I do that?
why do you want to? And she uses that analogy. She's like, why do you want to buy the car before you test drive it? Hell no. I love this woman.
She a dick pig. I would have, if someone had asked me the same thing, even if I wasn't attracted to them, like, hell no. We're in the bed and I need to say I fucked on a reality show.
Yeah. I do love the sex positivity of Jackie and Chelsea. They're yes. both just like, let's get it. Let's get that dick. Good now, for them.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Zach say that he doesn't want to sleep together until they're married? Did he initiate that with Irina? Or did she? It felt like he initiated it.
Yeah, it's kind of unclear, actually. That I feel like she did. But it felt like kind of maybe he was saying that because he was reading the room and clearly she's not into him.
Sorry. We'll talk about them a little bit later. It's something I thought I might have missed because it was mentioned and then I didn't know who brought it up. And it seemed like he initiated it, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's coming from because he's reading the room and seeing her being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Who knows? This next thing, we are, let's see, I gotta organize my notes better.
Oh, God. So basically, I remember. So she said being with him, it's deeper than anything she's experienced. And Marshall tells her, because you're not the type, well, Marshall says, you are the type of woman that I would have gone for. And Marshall says, do you want to, that's where they talk about the intimacy thing. But then they're driving around. They're in their bathtub. They take a bath. There's not anything there. But then they're driving around in this Jeep and they're going to this, to this beautiful bar area. And he's saying like, we forget y'all. He's like, it's crazy that we only met a couple of days ago. And she's like, I know, but you're like a real man. I love the way she talks. Cause she's like, you're not some bozo. I'm not worried about you at all.
And then she said, I just don't want to push you away or I don't want to make you angry. And then he says, this is so nice because he says the same thing she said to him. Give yourself grace, like you said to me. And basically Jackie says, you're everything I need. And Marshall says, yeah, I'm not. It's you because I ain't doing that shit again. I'm not going back to crap relationships. So
no.
Marshall seems like he's all in. And maybe he could. Jackie does seem to be someone who needs emotional support pretty constantly.
It's definitely like very similar to Kwame and Chelsea, where Chelsea and Marshall are very, have a lot of secure, self-secured, and they both feel very comfortable in their own skin.
Yeah.
Where Jacqueline and Kwame don't as much.
Yeah, I could see that.
And very much. And so they're getting ready that night. And y'all, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, maybe she talked to someone at home.
I thought someone died, like they got a text or something.
She kind of, there was some kind of moment that triggered her, but just crying, sobbing, crying.
Yeah, like almost like something like she remembered she got. I don't mean this as a joke. I mean, it's like she remembered she was like touched when she was five and it quite came out. Like it was heaving, crying. And she keeps saying she's in her emotions and she's thinking, it never really gets specific. She just says, I'm thinking about home and my people and I'm missing my family, but I'm scared. It's almost like, she's scared to go home to her family.
Well, she had said I was raised strict. I don't want my kids to have to be, so I don't think she has the best support system at home.
I forgot about that. She did say that, like very strict.
Yeah, and I think she's probably worried about her family, maybe her friends judging him. I think that's really important to her, how people in her life feel about who she dates. It seems like she's dated before a lot on appearance and how her – and I think she's maybe one of these people who she's always dating players and – but they're really hot. And I think she's really worried about introducing Marshall, who's close to her height, to either family or friends. That's what it feels like. Which is sad.
I guess it just, I think there's more to this story that we're going to find out when we meet her family. Y'all, at one point, she just goes into the closet and is just sobbing, 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 sobbing. And he's trying to talk to her. And she said she was feeling like she's running away from life. She's sobbing in the closet.
She's in her emotions, she says.
He opens the door and then he goes in there and he hugs her and he just says, "I know, I know,
I know."
He just hugs her. And just comforts her. And then while she sobs. And then the next morning, she says, she kind of explains a little more.
She said, "I had a moment. I don't take a lot of me time. Thank you for being there." And she said, what you did for me last night was an act of pure love.
And Marshall says, "It's okay. We're human. You got to have those moments." And she said, "This man loves me."
I think she's going to be a handful.
But
in a relationship, I really like her, but
I think she's got a lot of trauma she needs to work out.
I will say, you know, this is a kind of a Darcy move to even though, yes, you've had a very, very accelerated dating and courtship and you're engaged. I guess it's good to be this vulnerable, but damn, you don't want to show the whole mess. Do it by degrees. I will say Marshall could handle it. There are not a lot of men who can.
Because I have a fucking degree in therapy, and I don't think I could have handled this.
Men can't handle that kind of emotional distress from women very well, especially ones they don't know. And it was amazing how he handled this, because I would be like, "Girl, stop, stop."
They would have been crying in the closet, and you would have gotten your head banged by some other guy in the bedroom.
What? You were busy.
I couldn't find you.
I thought you were going to be there for a while. Sounded like you were working it out. Self-soothing. This is my self-soothing.
Let's just jump into this shit show that is Zach and Arena. It's so good to watch. It's so good to watch. So they're sitting there having dinner, and Zach just says, "Have you figured out my cartoon character yet?" "I don't know."
God. God. And that's when he says, "You kind of look like Megan Fox." Yeah.
I wrote down, sure. "I am so uncomfortable watching them."
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have to say, when you watch Love is Blind, y'all, you forget, you got to take a Valium afterwards. You're just fucking stressed.
And then they start talking about names, because things can't get more awkward. They start thinking about names for their children. Y'all, besides being not well matched, Godfrey. How about Godric? Like True Blood. That's a dog's name, by the way. Oh, not a person's name. How about Zion or Gideon?
Okay.
Goliath. Don't let these people breed.
I don't think they should have children. If this is what they're going to name their kids, no.
Nope.
We're good, world.
And then Zach says, and this is very revelatory, "I didn't see the person I'd been talking to, but I like it."
It's weird. She's like, and she says, "I think you honor my boundaries. Thank you. Aren't you so lucky? Aren't we so lucky?" And Zach's like, "I like that you're saying we."
And this is when Arena says, there are hesitations, like not having sex before marriage. That's why it seems like that was something he wanted.
Yeah, it was. But see, I take that as like she doesn't want to, but she knows that's a red flag for her because normally she's going to bang someone she's into.
Okay, so you think it came from her?
I think so. I mean, look, I think, and I don't mean like she's asking for it, but look at the way Irina dresses and talks about her body and it, like she's a sexual being.
Right.
And she's kind of not at all in this. So I think that's a red, I took that as that's a red flag for her. She's like, this is not good that we're waiting. Cause that's, well, I don't think that's her MO.
That's not what
it's confusing. No,
her sentence is there are hesitations with him. In other words, she wants to have sex. Like she's like, there are things that give me pause.
Oh, I'd have to watch that back. Cause I took over saying there, I like almost just saying I have hesitations with him.
Yeah. I think
it wasn't clear.
I think we're seeing this very differently. Mm-hmm. Because it seems like, and then you honor my boundaries. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. They are not comfortable with one another.
Not at all. And even like he looks over at her. They'll be in bed. He looks at her and just goes, ah! He does like a little kiss, like basically asking for a kiss. And she's like, eh. And then she just grabs Ralph and sticks Ralph in the middle of the bed. And there's one part where he leans and kisses her on the cheek. And she's like, oh.
She's like, you're a crazy ball. I've never heard that term before.
No, because only 12-year-olds say that. Because she's a fucking emotionally stunted child.
I think that, I don't know, Shayna was something. But even Shayna, you kind of enjoyed and was kind of comical to watch her do thing. Yeah. But between Micah and Irina this season, this is hard to watch.
Well, Irina's way more immature even than Micah. Yeah. And that's why Irina is the henchman, because Micah is the smarter and more calculating one.
Mm-hmm. There's one little bit.
But then she gives him these crumbs, like where she's like, they wake up the next morning and Zach's right. She does. Poodle, you know, when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you.
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me. You know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men!
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
look better without makeup. Much better.
Yeah. Those brows. Ooh.
I know. And she's like, did you feel weird when you woke up? And he's like, nope. She's like, well, I did a little. But I was like, oh boy, I'm here with him. And he does the kissy lip thing again, like.
And Arena does say, it feels like we're best friends.
Not what you want to hear.
Not what you want to hear.
Then at one point, y'all, he's singing. In that
they're on a boat now. Yeah, they're
warbly sound of dry bones.
Can you stop it? I can't handle that. Thank you. Thank you, Arena. We can't handle it either.
But it is strange to someone you supposedly love and are engaged with to tell someone to stop singing. Yes,
it is. It is. Y'all, uh-oh. Don't pull over, by the way. Don't pull over. That's me. Sorry.
So, at one point, Zach says, well, I didn't come here to hook up. I came here to find forever. And that's why I think that might have been the sex talk I was thinking about. I don't know.
I know, because he does say, I think us take, because she says, I know I never tell you to your face, but you're so cute. And I went, okay, so
do you
think he's cute, but you're never going to tell him?
Then there's this moment later on. It's just like they're serving us three squares of cringe.
Oh, yes. Just
there's
over
this moment
and over.
Where he tries just to be pinky swear with her and like grab her pinky. And she goes, way too intimate. Way too intimate.
She can't handle it.
And then Zach says, you've been hesitant to express any kind of affection. And I feel like you're not affectionate because you already think it's not going to work. And
yeah, because he says, you say for the physical stuff, you say it's a problem, but you want us to do it. And she's like, well, I'm just normally into it, but with you, it's taking longer. And Zach tried to sit. The thing is, what we're seeing this episode is Zach is trying to, in a right way, actually like Zach a little bit better the more we get to know him, because he seems a little bit more logical.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to pin her down. And what Arena
is
doing.
He's more
of
an adult, definitely.
Arena can't help but play the game, y'all. She has to play. So even though she's not into him at all, she still wants to flirt with him. She still wants to give him breadcrumbs because she needs that constant validation of she feels so pretty because she feels like shit about herself. So she can't. She doesn't even know she's doing it.
No. She even says, maybe I'm insecure about my period. That's why I don't do it.
She like says it like she's going to have this reflection. And then she goes, no, that can't be it. No.
And then he says, this is super interesting. He's like, the power dynamic in a relationship is really important. And you like feeling in control.
He said, when you were in the pods, you hated not being in control. And now you're not. And I went, he just fucking read her for filth.
And she's like,
She's like, I feel like you're trying to say I'm the issue. And I'm like, you are the issue.
It's me. Hi.
She said, you're just hurt because I'm not affectionate. And Zach is, but he says, actually, more than anything, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on in your mind.
There's nothing. It is just, it's just an empty club where someone's playing, someone's playing Ride My Pony again and again and again and again.
Jump on it. Do it, ride it, my pony.
And you've got a Long Island iced tea just sloshing around, doing and twerking.
Dump on it.
That's it. It's a raccoon.
It was a raccoon. You're used to raccoons, probably where you are.
Yes.
Grew up.
People would hit them and like go take them and cook them.
No.
Oh, yeah. Roadkill. We
people
didn't
actually.
Yeah.
That's not sanitary.
When you don't have anything to eat, like some people did, that's what they did. You've never heard of the phrase roadkill?
I have, but I didn't know people. I've never known anyone who actually did it.
Neither have I. not members of my immediate family, but
all right,
some of the mountain people. Yeah, especially if you hit a deer, you drag it off, put it in the back of your car.
Well, that's different because people hunt deer,
but people like raccoon.
I do know deer. Some people.
They say it's greasy.
We need to move on.
We need to move on.
All right.
Brett and Tiffany.
By the way, I'm going to say while we're doing this, I'm just getting the most lengthy text exchange from Mary Payne, who has no idea how to use her Netflix account to watch Love is Blind. Because we get preview content and she set it up. I sent her a video and then I actually think she's doing it right, but I sent her a video and she said, send me an instructional video. And I'm like, girl, I just did. Anyway, after we get off this pod today, I think I'm just going to have to grab a glass of wine and FaceTime with Mary Payne for 2 hours and help her figure out her Netflix.
Well, she works on her corns.
And I work on my sciatica. Anyway, all right. So, yes, Tiffany and Brett. Oh, boy. Boy, there was...
So, Brett basically says, I don't know what... He's basically saying, I didn't know what she looks like, but I know her energy, and everybody around her is happier because of, and he says, you're perfect for me. And
yeah, he says it's real, authentic, and it's a loving, positive force.
And then y'all, Brett takes off his shirt and
we all have a moment.
And the world fell away.
I
went into a fugue state.
I kind of my eyes went back in my head, and I just kind of. But I'd been forgotten, I'd been married long time ago. Where did you come from? I just didn't know where I was.
Is that song 30 years old? It probably is.
I still have it from our Florian Theater on Zencaster. So, but I felt appropriate.
Maybe 25 years old.
Because I did freak out like we did in middle school when the Cotton Eye Joe came on. Remember how everyone screamed and ran into the dance floor?
I think that song was too close to home for a lot of people when where I was.
Oh, in Oklahoma, everybody was like, and freaked out. Like the girls loved it and the guys liked it too because it was line dancing, so it wasn't gay.
If you're wondering, was the 90s weird?
Yes.
If you were born like in the very, very late 90s and you're listening and you're going, were the 90s just that strange? Yes. All rules didn't apply. You could have a techno song that was kind of bluegrass by a Euro trash group
called Rednecks
with an
X
at the end.
X. Who knew? Anyway. This holy God, this guy is hot. And so they're in the pool. They're making out, y'all. She is like, he's humble. He's sexy. He takes care of me. He's perfect. And then y'all, Love is Blind. I'm telling you, they could have a segment called Love is Blind After Dark because they're in now, shows them later. They're in the bed. And they're just kind of making out, and she's in her panties, and he's rubbing her ass. And then he says what Poodle Nye's favorite thing to hear when we're with a man, get on top of me.
Yes.
And you didn't see this, and I had to tell you, I texted you, and I said, did you see Brett's huge erection in his underwear? And you went, wait, what? And your phone kind of, I saw it kind of skeeze out or whatever.
A lot of times when I'm, assuming we're doing this fast, I do have to say, this is episode 4, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. Or this is 3.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Is this 4?
This is 4. We're on 4.
A lot of times, these episodes have been very long. So this was the longest at 67 minutes, which might be 68. The longest Love is Blind episode ever, besides like the finales. And I guess I'm sitting there trying to write as much possible. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I miss the visuals. I'll let you fill those in.
This was a very big visual.
Y'all. Maybe I'm not just watching it for the male porn. Maybe I'm watching for very complex relationship dynamics.
Yeah. We're going to see about that later. But I'm sorry. I can type, so I can watch and type at the same time. And instead of shaming me, you should be praising me and thanking me for pointing out a huge bulging erection to you to see on television. This is gay rights.
It is gay rights. I don't really have too much about them. I think they're going to be
fine. What else is after that?
Unless this is all smoke and mirrors and something horrible happens.
They did leave their door open and Robbie the raccoon came back and ate their shit. That did happen. Okay. Shall we talk about the pool party? I think that's where we are now, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. The
oh boy.
Everyone's meeting people and And at one point, I think Jackie looks at Brett and says, he's kind of fine. And Marshall went, I told you. I kind of, because Brett is definitely probably the most, I would say, reality show handsome in the cast. Big body.
Him or Kwame. I think Kwame's an actual model when I looked at his Instagram. He has a lot of modeling shows. Brett actually does a lot of photography, and he does really cool photography.
Yeah. Yeah, those two, I would say. And then everybody else is kind of normie-ish.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, they just posted, because we're recording this earlier, I think just today they posted on the Love is Blind Netflix account. They posted the entire cast, and you can scroll through of them.
They have been posting them. I think they've been posting them consistently.
Yeah.
For a while.
Some of the guys that didn't get picked are... Whew,
like Jesus. That guy, Ryland?
Ooh. There's another guy.
That's a Sean Cody name, y'all.
And he looks it, too. And there's another guy. There was one picture I knew you'd really like. He's wearing overalls. It's Halloween, and he's wearing overalls with no shirt and a black tooth with a hay in his mouth and a hat. And I was like, yeah, Poodle would get into that.
That takes me back. The sound of banjos on a sweet summer evening.
True. There's a guy, I think Juan was his name. There's a lot of hot guys. Again, I think the men are more attractive than the women all look really normal this season, which is nice to see. But
a great thing.
Remember how we said we love people and we hope we're not disappointed? Well, we're done with that now, y'all.
Who do we hope we love? I'm confused.
No, we said, oh, I love this couple. I love them together. And we said, we hope we don't get our hopes up. And we hope that there's not, somebody that
Kwame
breaks
our heart. Kwame basically is going to disabuse us of most of that and says, we're beyond what our physical beauty is, talking about Micah. And she's like, he's super handsome. And he basically is, but I'm definitely attracted to her. And I went, no.
No. So when he said, when Kwame said, Micah could have been the strangest being in the world, and I still would have been encapsulated by her. And he was like, she's beautiful, and I'm attracted to her. I'm sorry. And I went, oh. And when he said that was in a talking head moment. So I went, okay. Okay, you're saying this in the talking head. And I thought, are you going to be saying this in real life in front of Chelsea?
Like a Bartice. Like a Bartice move with Nancy.
Y'all,
I really hope not.
No, I'm already, I think he's a piece of shit and an influencer and he's going to cheat on her.
Kwame?
Oh. Yeah, he's a piece of shit, y'all. Sorry. I loved him too. He's just another man who has no idea to hold to his morals.
Wow. Sounds like someone maybe sourcing something else.
No, it's not even that. I feel exactly because you don't remember. I liked Bartiz. Remember? I thought, oh, he's kind of goofy. He seems kind of dumb, but he seems to really like her. So I'm just.
So you've been fooled too many times where I normally just see them.
Too many times.
I normally just see them and think they're assholes. I thought Bartiz was an asshole.
You did. And, but again, like, it's just, you know, whereas you love Brennan, like it just reminded me, I can't love anyone on this show.
I think though, I'm trying to give Kwame a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. However, this is gratuitous.
No.
So
not after the way he talked to her.
For the girls are sitting talking around and Mike is like, Paula and I haven't fought yet. But Chelsea's like, I've been wrecked. I've been worn the fuck out.
And I'm like, yes! God, I love Chelsea. I love that woman.
Jackie reveals we haven't had sex.
She's a sissy. She's a sissy. I guarantee you she is a sissy.
Jackie says we haven't had sex yet because I'm on my cycle, but I can please him outside of sex, right?
This is the most sex positive talk we've had. You know, because last year Alexa kind of did that and all the other girls would be like, and I love that all these girls are like, yeah, bitch, get that D.
So Kwame and Micah talk. It's nice putting a voice to your face.
Hey, Kara, at you. I want you to be so happy. So happy. I hope that's
and then,
also they're really drunk, y'all. They're getting very drunk.
Yeah, and she's already slurring. But maybe that's how she talks.
But yes and.
So all the she's like, in her Paul, lips. She can't talk. I love him so much. I like had, but I had such a hard time equating his face with his voice. And then she says to Kwame, but your voice and your face fit like a glove.
Like a glove. And Kwame's like, she's like, how are things? He's like, things are good. I say it's great. It was so like not anything like emotional. And then he said, I think this was in his talking head. He said to her, you really have the best heart. I can feel it. And I went, you're wrong. You're wrong, Kwame.
This is that moment where I think who it was it Bliss said, if you're that convinced about Irina being a wonderful person, I may be judging you.
Yeah.
It depends on, so I kind of see that, but like, I guess, granted, this will be a shocker to many of you listening. I am not a heterosexual man, so sometimes I don't understand the carnal impulses of other straight men.
Okay.
But I find Micah to be absolutely banal.
You're talking about something you don't know because my brother or like my best friend back home, Sean, when he was single, he'd be like, oh, bro, look at this girl that I'm talking to. And he'd send me a picture and it was like this kind of like Pamela Anderson type that I'm like, that is not attractive to me at all.
Well, I'm not even talking about her looks. I'm talking about how she talks.
Oh, again. Some guys are into that,
but
because that's the way women.
This is Love is Blind. It's supposed to be about.
But that's the way Kardashians and women in porn talk, and that's what men are referring this
Got it.
To.
So Micah goes on, is like, "Well, I hope Chelsea is the person your person," and then Kwame basically says, he's basically, you know, that was just the most Micah talk ever. And
what does that mean?
I don't know. But he did say, this was May saying, there's a very good chance it would have been you till the end.
She said that to him. And Kwame's like, I know. There was points when I felt so sure. And he said, you know, and he's like, we're supposed to walk out of here with a real connection. And that is what happened. And
Did you hear her say, I see Chelsea's heart, and it comes off a little much.
Yeah, she's like, she's genuine, but a little much. And I went, and I wrote, she's still got to get that dig in there, and she's got to put in a little seed of doubt so that way Kwame thinks secondly. And then, but y'all literally, I knew it was bad when she was like, I think you're so great. And he said, I think you're so great too. And I went, oh God.
This was a lot worse than the Jarrett,
thank you.
And Mallory thing.
Way worse.
Oh, but
they kept hugging each other. Ugh.
Yeah, it was worse, but there was a sense of the why that was so salacious is because Jarrett, there was an energy that both Jarrett and Mallory brought into it that was more sexual than this was. This was worse because it felt like they were trying to connect emotionally.
The sexual came later. There was also a little bit, because later they're talking and literally he's just licking his lips and she's just
yes!
And he's like the part where he's like touching her hand and looking at her ring. And I'm going, that's where I was like, I'm a heart out. You're an asshole. Total asshole. But
yeah, I think I'm gonna go with you now that
that's what did it. If it was, because you know, even Jarrett and Mallory, I wasn't too mad at Jarrett, but it was like when he's over there in front of his fiance holding this other woman's hand and stroking her hand, I was like, fuck you asshole. Ugh.
So Irina and Paul, they're talking to, and they're basically, or Paul says, you and Zach kind of look alike. Talking about Paul. Because she's just so awful. She can't. So evidently, Paul looks like a cartoon character too.
Yes.
And as they're talking, of course, Irina and Micah are besties. Y'all, always the vilest people will get together on these shows. And they enable each other and they make it even worse for everyone else to be around them.
I am interested to see if the only thing that could be redeeming to me, but not fully, I still think he's going to be a not great guy. How can you not miss the way Micah and Irina acted at this pool party? And how can, if that doesn't influence his Kwame's opinion of Micah, then something's wrong with that guy.
I honestly don't know if a lot of men are paying attention to what women are saying, especially when they're together.
Say that again, because that is important for any straight sissies out there.
I was going to say, I don't think a lot of straight men pay attention to how women talk because they consider it that women talk and not really important. And we know that's where the rubber meets the road, woman talk. When women are talking to one another, those are the most important conversations.
That's why, as a little gay boy, my favorite thing ever was when the women were just talking around the table, cleaning up the kitchen. I'd sit in there and listen to every word.
Oh, my God. I did, too.
Memories at Aunt Peggy's.
I was usually doing little tricks or trying to do little dances, trying to impress everyone.
Wow. That's gayer than me. And that's saying something.
I was doing little dance steps. I was just little poodling.
They don't realize women talk is the talk.
I know. It taught me how to be shady.
It taught me
how to be to my aunts.
Oh, yeah. That's how I learned to gossip. Listen to Aunt Peggy and Aunt Darla talk about people and my mom.
That's when they talked. That's when they spoke. So y'all, Irina basically says, Zach is not my type on paper. But the moment I saw him, I thought, I don't know who this man is.
Who is it? Every time he touches me, I'm just like, ick, ick.
Now, y'all, we called this from the first meeting. Now she is verbalizing it, which is much worse. And at one point, Mike is like, I want to, like, relate to you, but it's so different. Because
she's like, it's different with me and Paul. And Irina interrupts her and goes, he's gorgeous. And I went, oh my God, please be attracted to Paul. Please be attracted to Paul. Please fuck over your friend. Please fuck over your friend. That's all I want. This is what I want now.
I don't think Paul would do that.
I know, but I still want Arena to hit on, and I want Paul to be collateral damage, and I want all three of them just to live sad lives.
You know, it's weird.
Not Paul, really. But
it does work on a binary like this for me. I really want some of the couples to be extremely happy, but I really do want Irina and Micah's relationships to burn.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, I don't, I really hope Brett and Tiffany work out. I hope that Marshall and Jackie work out, although I'm a little worried. The other three, with the exceptions maybe of Kwame and Chelsea, which I think is going to be interesting, the other Paul and Micah, Irina and Zach, I kind of just want to watch it like burst into flames.
Yes.
Yeah. It's sad to say that, but, and I think it's also because I just don't have enough empathy for either man in those relationships.
I just think they're both, maybe we didn't see it all, but I just think they're both so clearly not, they don't need to be dating someone to be their longtime partner because their picker is off. Picker is off.
I think the picker's off for both of them. And because I think both of those women really did tell the men what they wanted to hear. And it wasn't a kind of a free exchange of communication or vulnerability. It was just two women playing games. And maybe the men were. Zach was definitely playing games by telling women he lived under an underpass.
Yeah, I really don't feel sorry. Paul, I do a little bit because Paul...
He's just a dumbass. He's dumb. Clueless. He's extremely intelligent, but he's clueless.
Emotional nerd still. Yeah.
But so later on...
So they're talking in the pool. There's something else I want to say. And so Arena does say again, I feel like Paul's so attractive. And
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Arena, she's talking to, I think she's talking to Paul. Is that when they're talking about cooking Russian food?
Yes, but even before that, I want to bring up, Micah did say, when I first saw Paul, I thought, he's not my type.
Yes, thank you for that.
That's huge.
I love this show.
And I don't know, and she did not push forward with, but we're connecting on an emotional level. She just said that. Now, that might have been in the editing, because obviously, y'all, she's the best villain in a while.
Oh, in a while, y'all.
Definitely since Shayna. But, and Arena says, Paul is so attractive, and I'm loving this. So, later on, Arena is talking to Paul, and they're flirting about Russian food, and Kwame and Brett, basically, they're like, I just want to be like, fuck it, with Micah. What? You know, it's like, but it's a little weird seeing her in person. And she's like, she hugged me earlier, and there was this strange feeling. Holding her was tough. I'm so sorry it was tough on you. Think about the girl you're with that you chose.
He's not.
And y'all,
he's not.
Of course, Micah and Arena, but like you knew they were going to start shit talking Chelsea, because it's their favorite thing to do, probably since back in the pods.
Yeah.
And I think it was Kwame and Brett keep talking about this idea of this is the girl I tried to. I can't read my writing here.
I will say too, it's also pretty gross because Micah, all throughout this, we're not talking about the physicality. Y'all, Micah keeps going up to Kwame and just hugging him and like putting her tits on his chest and hugging him. She keeps doing that. Like, I bet I counted like 7 hugs from Micah during this whole time.
And then did you see Chelsea said, honey, go get me some guac and some chips to Kwame. And Ernie's like, yeah, Kwame, and go get us some shots. Bitch, because now she thinks it was a weird, almost competitive streak because she was using Micah's voice as a cipher to compete. It was so weird. And then she's like, why would you deny us shots, Kwame? We want a drink. It was so awful.
It was Arena said it, and Kwame said, you can go get your own shot. And they're like, oh. And so now it becomes 13 years old. And then it becomes the word of the day that the Mean Girls found, salty. He's so salty.
And Micah said, let's do a shot for a failed proposal. And my jaw dropped. In.
Let that sink in, y'all. First of all, he never really proposed to her.
No.
He told her that he almost got there. But the cruelty of that.
She's got ice water in her veins.
But what's more fucked up with me, and this is kind of just, but the cruelty of that. But then later, Kwame is fucking putty in her hands.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to the part where he's like holding her hand by the pool, talking to her. He's such a fucking simp to her.
He then says, can I talk to you? And he says, and he's like, that's really fucked up. And then they're talking about being malicious and I care about you. Don't make jokes like you did. And then she basically makes him apologize to her.
Yep. Which is what she did to everyone in the pods when they got upset with her. She would end up making herself the victim, aka someone who's a narcissist.
And then she's like, well, what about Chelsea? And he's like, let's go back to who we are. And I kept writing down, I don't know if she's so drunk, but or she's just tipsy. There's a weird speech impediment that she kind of has that no, almost kind of reminds me of a Blake Lively. It's probably her lips. Yeah.
It's her lips are too big. She, and I will say all the during this entire time, we start to get a little bit, but y'all, Chelsea's doing, this is what I would have done. She's smart. Chelsea's just watching. Because again, yeah. It's like Aunt Peggy says, honey, give them a long rope so they can hang themselves.
She's always the most kindest.
It's true, though. That's what you got to do, though, y'all.
Chelsea's talking to Jackie and said, would you be upset if Marshall and I had like a 20-minute conversation? And Jackie's like, child, I go over there and behead him.
Yeah. It's really great that Chelsea, Jackie, and Tiffany are definitely a friend group. And that's kind of like, y'all, if you don't watch, again, why are you not watching? But they never really interact with the other two women unless
No, the other two are attached at the hip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the Hydra without a head.
This tell-all, I'm saying it now, this tell-all is going to be fire.
It's going to be lit. Yeah. So anyway, they are, Tiffany and Jackie are still talking. They're like, you know, where's her? I can't read my writing. I wrote this fast. Where's her person?
So basically, she's like, Chelsea said, why do they have to keep going? And Tiffany's like, yeah, I don't get that either. They said, Where's Paul?
Paul!
And finally, Chelsea says, this has got to stop. And that's where we look over and Kwame is just kind of stroking her hand, looking at her engagement ring by the pool. And Mike is like, I was all in with you the whole time. Not true. And then You broke up with him. And then you see Micah looks at her and you can tell that everything he is holding back, every part of his being, not to just lean down and kiss her. You can see it.
Yeah.
He just wants, and she, of course, hugs him again. He's licking his lips and smile. And Chelsea says, well, I'm going home. And she doesn't say anything to anyone. And she just leaves the fucking party.
This was the right way to handle things.
It was.
Because it would be playing right into what Micah wants. Micah wants her to make a scene so she can be the victim again.
Yep.
That's what she wants.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just came over here and talked to me. I was just trying to be nice.
And then it would prove to Kwame, having her overreact, not really overreact, but react, it would prove to Kwame what Micah said was, you know, she's just too much.
Yep.
And so the weird thing about Micah here, y'all, is she doesn't seem very smart, but she's actually like crazy like a fox. This learned behavior of getting people, of manipulating people is a strength of hers, and it's a little scary.
Well, I think you bring up two different points. I don't think she's super intelligent.
No.
But this is what is a personality disorder. It is ingrained in their personality. It's a subconscious thing that it's like breathing air, or for Poodle and I, sucking dick. It just comes naturally.
Yep.
Doing what comes naturally.
That's the show. Wow.
Oh, what an episode. This was a great episode. Wow. Again, I may have watched the first 5 minutes of episode 5.
I didn't actually. So I'm gonna probably do that very soon.
It was disappointing because they didn't tell us anything yet. They're delaying the conversation. Then I stopped watching because I felt bad. Anyway, y'all. All right. We're almost done with this first little drop of find us, Reality Gaze, find all the shit. Thank you for subscribing. We got to go because we've got to go watch more. What, Poodle?
Love is blind.
Love is blind.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.